Our reading for worship comes from the Gospel of Mark. We are in the sixth chapter. Herod the king heard about these things because the name of Jesus had become well known. Some were saying, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and this is why miraculous powers are at work through him. Others were saying, he is Elijah. Still others were saying, he is a prophet, like one of the ancient prophets. But when Herod heard these rumors, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised to life. He said this because Herod himself had arranged to have John arrested and put in prison because of Herodias, the wife of Herod's brother, Philip. Herod had married her, but John told Herod, it's against the law for you to marry your brother's wife. So Herodias had it in for John. She wanted to kill him, but she couldn't. This was because Herod respected John. He regarded him as a righteous and holy person, so he protected him. John's words greatly confused Herod, yet he enjoyed listening to them. Finally, the time was right. It was on one of Herod's birthdays when he had prepared a feast for his high-ranking officials and military officers and Galilee's leading residents. Herod's daughter Herodias came in and danced, thrilling Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to the young woman, ask me whatever you wish, and I will give it to you. Then he swore to her, whatever you ask, I will give to you even as much as half my kingdom. She left the banquet hall and said to her mother, what shall I ask for? John the Baptist's head, Herodias replied. Hurrying back to the ruler, she made a request. I want you to give me John the Baptist's head on a plate right this minute. Although the king was upset because of his solemn pledge and his guests, he didn't want to refuse her. So he ordered a guard to bring John's head. The guard went to the prison, cut off John's head, and brought his head on a plate and gave it to the young woman. And she gave it to her mother. When John's disciples heard what had happened, they came and took his dead body and laid it in a tomb. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. It only takes a few words, just maybe a couple of words, that can point us back to God. A few good words that bear the good news that God is at work, and we will hear again about God's love. And then we have this text. It's kind of hard to hear any good news in this story of John being executed as a prophet of God. This really isn't the kind of text that feels very churchy or worshipful. We came looking for good news. We need a reassurance of hope. We need a sign of life, especially after an exhausting week or maybe an exhausting year. So, yeah, this text, not sure what to do with this text. I've been coming back to this text all week, and my gut has been telling me, just flip the page. Maybe you want to do that too. And maybe, you know what, maybe we should do that. Let's just flip the page. Let's go to another story. So we don't have to deal with the death of John the Baptist. We need good news. So we do it. Let's go back. We don't have to go back that far, but let's look for a story that came before the story. Mark even gives us permission to do this. Verse 14, Herod the king heard about these things. Somehow those words are pointing us beyond this story, because we can ask ourselves, what things? What did Herod hear about? Maybe there are better things. Maybe they're good news things. Maybe it's a story that's far better than a story about a violent birthday party and a dead messenger of God. So let's go back. If you had your Bibles in your laps and in your hands, I would tell you maybe to flip back a page, not knowing where this particular verse lands, but we flip back not that far. Chapter 6, verse 6. Mark tells us, Jesus calls out the 12 disciples. By the way, they were already there. They were in the group, but there was a much larger group than just the 12. This reminds us that Jesus probably had a bit of an entourage as he moved from village to village, town to town, and place to place. The 12 were there. They've already been appointed. That happened a couple of chapters ago. But beyond that, it reminds us that there were also the women disciples, who weren't called disciples, but they were there. And then there's the faithful followers who go unnamed, and there was probably some support staff. But in verse 6, he calls out the 12, and he gives them a mission. Go out in pairs. Don't take much with you. You're going to be dependent on those who you encounter. And Jesus gives them power and authority to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to do God's work. The heart of Jesus' ministry in the Gospel of Mark is healing the sick, casting out demons. So go town to town, home to home, give away the kingdom of God. Set people free of their demons and the powers that exert power over them. Liberate everyone of the spiritual, emotional, physical bondage of despair and hopelessness. We can almost imagine that the disciples weren't walking, they were running, because they've been given this incredible responsibility. They've been given the good news, God's grace, God's mercy in its intangible forms, their hand, their feet, their voice. All they got to do is give it away. Truly, it's amazing that any one of us can stay in worship for 40 minutes when we remember again of all the power that God gives us to proclaim God's good news. So the disciples head out. And as crazy as it sounds, they bring healing and mercy and liberation to God's people. And it works. They cast out demons. They heal the sick. All those who were sent out to the wilderness are brought back to the center. Those who were sick and suffering are relieved. Anyone who has been denied life and dignity because of the powers of this world and the powers of powerful people and the power of sin that reigns over all of us, everyone is set free. This is good news. Maybe this is the story that we need. This is the story of mercy. It can move us beyond our imaginations. These are some words. This is good news about the gift of God's kingdom that's in our lives, in our community, in our church, moving across creation. These are the things that Herod is hearing about. These are the things that compel him to remember back to that birthday way back when he had John the Baptist killed. These are the things that the gospel writer Mark is pointing us to. It's a proclamation of God's forgiveness and God's mercy and God's love at work in this world, and he's pointing us to them in midst of a story that reminds us of our desperate need for forgiveness and love in a broken world, revealed through a prophet who's executed for speaking God's word. Now Mark tells us about the mission of the 12, and then Mark immediately tells us about the death of John the Baptist, not so much to bring down our joy, because, you know, in good Lutheran form, we can never be too happy or joyful. It's really more of a caution. It's a reminder to us, the 12, or in this case, a few more than 12, as we have been called out by Christ, a caution against us celebrating Jesus without seeing the despair and the devastation and the disappointment, even the death that remains in our lives, in our community, our church, and all across creation. Because as a church, it is a temptation. It is a powerful temptation for us to look away, to shut the windows, to shut the doors, to stay in this space, to stay close to Jesus and to keep Jesus close to us, to shutter everything in our lives, to stay in this space where we can hear words of affirmation and joy and comfort and all the words we need to build ourselves up. It is our temptation to run away as fast as we can from the suffering and brokenness that exists just beyond these walls in our clean clothes. We all get good at hiding our demons. We all get good at silencing voices that might speak a word that's counter to what we need to hear. In our reading, Herod is played off as a bit of an innocent fool, as if he merely takes justice advice from a preteen. So we got to remind ourselves, he's the one who arrested John so that he'd keep him close. Herod is the one who wanted to keep the words of God near like a plaything so he could marvel with them and behold them and prevent others from encountering them. Herod practically turned John's prison cell into a shrine. He respected him. He admired him. He marveled at what he could do and what he could say. And the whole time he did this while keeping God's kingdom away from everyone else. And by the way, it was his sword came from his armory that ended John's life. So the reading that we have for today, this gospel reading that points us to God, this one that we would prefer to avoid, it speaks to us as God's people of how far the world is willing to go, how far we as people of God's people in this world are willing to go to arrest the kingdom of God, to stop it short, to keep it close, to refuse its reach beyond liturgical walls and songs of joy and celebration, to turn our thoughts from the voices and the families and the ones who are in our midst, who are longing for liberation, for mercy, for healing and peace, while others are feasting and drinking. It is a convincing, convicting word that Mark is giving us as we consider the mission of the church, the mission of the 12, where we, as Trinity Lutheran Church, where we are being called to serve our role in this community, this county, and this world. And this word, this desperate word, this troubling word, this tragic word of power and sin reigning over God's kingdom, the story of John the Baptist, thankfully, this is not the last word. And we know that because we have verse 14. That little verse, it's just a few words. Herod the king heard about these things. That little verse is what points us to the cross and the promise of redemption that we are all seeking, because Herod heard about the kingdom of God breaking into this world, the way that we hear about the kingdom of heaven breaking through all around us. And Herod heard this word after he killed John, after he tried to stifle the gospel, after he attempted to keep the kingdom of God for himself because his power is not power enough. The power that slows our speech, that averts our eyes, that tries to keep us closed off, that power is not enough power at the foot of the cross. Herod tried to stop the gospel, and it didn't work. In our temptation, we will try to manage the gospel. We will try to control the gospel. We will try to decide how God's kingdom is going to be spoken, sung, and reflected to our neighbors. And Jesus keeps moving. The kingdom keeps unfolding. God's mercy will continue to reach in the homes of the sick and the suffering. God's love will continue to find the ones who have been cast out to the margin and across the tracks. God's peace will continue to silence words of hate and destruction. God's forgiveness will continue to destroy the power of sin over us. Herod hears about the movement of God beyond his reach, the way Christ speaks a word, and we hear again how we are loved, we are forgiven, we are set free, and as Christ's disciples, God's church, we are being sent out and called out beyond these walls to proclaim good news, to give it away. Through our hands, through our voices, through our presence, through our feet, through the water, wine, and bread that we are given, the tangible signs of new life that we bear. We hear this good news through the lives of our neighbors. We hear this good news through the stories of our classmates and our co-workers. We hear this good news through the streets that surround this sacred space. Christ is alive and at work in our midst. We hear this good news and we remember, through faith and Christ's forgiveness, the depth of the need for grace in our world and the depth of God's love to respond. Amen.